The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Ahoy, and welcome to the Boating Hour with Captain Rick. The Boating Hour brings you the latest and greatest essential information about everything that sails, floats, or motors upon the high seas of Southern California. From land lovers to old salts, there'll be something for everyone. So climb aboard and get ready to sail with Captain Rick.
Ahoy out there and welcome to the Boating Hour. I'm Captain Rick and I want to thank you for joining us here on AM 870. We're here every Saturday at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, and please be sure to visit us on the web at theboatinghour.com. And now on social media, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Rumble, The Boating Hour with Captain Rick. And thanks to our sponsor for our show today for a healthy gut, the best probiotic on the market, Livia One Probiotics, natural, organic, and allergen free. Well, we've got Dave back with the Fisher and Weather Report. Dave, thanks for joining Captain Rick on the Boating Hour. It's great to have you back on the show.
Ah, thank you, Rick. It's good to hear your voice.
That's pretty exciting. You know, I went to the Bart Hall show, and it was really exciting out in Long Beach. It was an amazing show, and I had a couple of guests that were on my show that had booths, and I met some amazing people. You know, it was a huge fish exposure. You know, half the show must have been fishing. I didn't know there were that many fishermen.
There are so many fishermen in California, and because it's the Bart Hall show, there's so many specials to buy equipment, it brings everybody out in droves.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. And next to Freedom Boats, who got a couple people called in and joined their group from the show, I was really excited. Next to him was the West Coast, the Turtle Boating and Fishing group that's saving the turtles. They're Southern California Sea Turtles organization. I didn't know there was such a thing. They're going to come on the show and talk about rescuing the turtles and the habitats. Did you know anything about the conservation going up and down in California?
Oh, I do. Yes, I've been part of it for over 40 years. There's a huge supply of green sea turtles. And they've made their home, believe it or not, at the mouth of the LA River where it goes into the ocean. And there's over 1,000 turtles down there. And it's really fun just to go down and watch them. I've taken kids down there and stuff like that. And their populations are growing. And I'm actually starting to see sea turtles on my fishing trips. And this has never happened. Usually, you know, you'd see one or two a year or something on a warm year. But a year like this, I think we're going to get a big influx of sea turtles coming in here because of the weather pattern.
Wow, that's really exciting. I didn't know this existed. And I've got a little map going all the way into Oregon and Eureka and Fort Bragg, San Francisco, Monterey Bay, you know, down to Los Angeles, Catalina Island and San Diego. So she's going to come on. This was fantastic. I want to start out with this. We had a drought for a long period of time. I know that there were certain places in Lake Piru and even in Lake Mead, and I know up in Central Coast where the boating was really affected because we had a drought and there was a problem with the water levels. But that's all changed. So let's talk about that change, how a lot of our areas are full and healthy, and it's looking really good. Let's talk about why the change and how that change is affecting, you know, not just fishing, but the environment and the boaters and the sailors and, you know, the recreational people. Let's talk about that change.
Well, the biggest change, of course, is that there's space to move around. For a long time, you had these mud puddles in Southern California that you'd go out and there'd just be too many boats around you. But now you can go out and because there's 10 times more water, you have 10 times more space. So you're able to get to places where you can actually find some seclusion on these smaller lakes. And because of that, also the flora, fauna, fish, all that other stuff has grown exponentially also.
You know, it was very interesting when we were at the lowest point, they were talking about, they were finding things. They one area, I forgot where it was, they found a whole town that had been buried for God knows how long. It was from the 1800s. In Lake Mead, they were finding some of the mist. They were finding some barrels where, you know.
Yeah. We don't want to go into that.
Yeah. I don't know how much myth or how much, you know, made up stories that was. But now it's back, and I've talked about Lake Mead. I meant to look this up. I don't know if you know, and I forgot to look this up before the show. But every inch of water in Lake Mead is this astronomical amount of water. It's millions of cubic feet of water and on a single inch. Do you have any idea what an inch of water does, you know, in the lakes and rivers?
I have no idea, but I'm positive it's in the millions of gallons.
So, and I guess they measure by, cubic gallons or cubic meters. I'm not really sure. I'm going to have somebody, I've invited somebody out from Lake Mead to come talk about that. Well, let's go into fishing, because this was such a big fish show. And a lot of, I didn't know that I had some of these organization and groups and some of the fish charters and tours listening to my show. So they were excited to see me as I walked around, and I had no idea that I'm getting an audience of the fishermen. So I've got to make the fish report.
Well, you've really become quite the star, Rick.
Well, I'm trying to promote. My goal is to promote all the youth activities and the things that go on in the marina. I'm trying to promote other people's activities and ventures. But the fishing is very interesting, because there's fishing going on everywhere. And, oh, by the way, one of my favorite booths was the California organization, the Fish and Game, and the state of California. They sponsor the Department of Fish and Wildlife now. So that's directly under the governor. And they had a wonderful booth for the kids. They kind of went fishing, and they had the duck races. They had ducks there. They had duck races. And I picked up this little book, the California Finfish and Shellfish Identification Book. So I'm going to learn my fish. It's got one of everything in here. It's kind of shocking, and it's for educational purposes. And I'll have them on the show, because they also go around to schools and talk to kids. But let's talk about what's happened with the fishing, what's going on in the fishing in Southern California. So this has got to be the season for the tournaments, and this, you know, a time when fishing's coming back. So let's talk about that.
It is really coming back in leaps and bounds. For some reason, halibut showed up. They've been gone for 20 years.
Oh, no.
And there's limits of halibut to be had. The sharks are coming back. So all that conservation is really paying off. And I think mostly because of the food source. But, you know, I don't like to go into sharks too much, because it scares people. But a female great white shark takes about 35 years before it can even start to have more sharks.
Ah.
And that's a really long time. When you think about, you know, 3.5 decades before you can become a mother.
Right. No, I did.
Yeah, and so that conservation is coming back, and that's really helping out, you know, because they're kind of an apex predator. You know, other than all these orchids that are running around in Southern California now, it's been really fun seeing them. And they come in and out of here every once in a while, but we've been seeing them quite frequently now.
Well, apparently there's, I don't know how many. I've heard people say there's a billion sharks out there, and 400, 500 different kinds of species. So, you know, there's a lot of sharks.
Yes, and only you know, 2/3 of all shark bites are actually barracuda or triggerfish.
Oh, okay. Yeah, look.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how they we're not on their menu at all.
Right. I think some of the dramas and the shows and, you know, have really changed things and gotten people scared. But yeah, we shouldn't be. You know, sharks are out there, and I know in Marina del Rey there's a scavenger shark that we see that comes in. So yeah, a lot of sharks out there. So when we didn't have bass, or we didn't have a certain species of fish, did they go somewhere else because of the current of the water, or was their population just depleted?
Well, the population gets depleted, and then they find somewhere where they can have a nursery and they can rebuild. And that's what all this conservation is about, is they're making these areas, you know, La Jolla, there's spots on every Channel Island, there's spots on Palos Verdes, up at Point Doom, and these places are just exploding with life, unbelievable amounts of life. And that then that starts to, you know, overlap into everywhere else.
Oh, wow. You know, one of the booths was the Coastal Conservation Association, a nonprofit organization, and they do a lot. I'm going to try to have them on the show as well. But they're like a nonprofit, and they're trying to help fund the hatcheries that go on. There's one in Marina Del Rey.
The white sea bass. And it used to be they also raised halibut, you know, a long time ago. I wish they'd go back to that a little bit.
Well, I know that there's a symbiotic relationship with the marina and the county and the difficulty that these people have, not just in funding, but in the ability for the county to allow them, you know, to exist there. So, you know, they operate as a nonprofit. Everybody volunteers their time. So they're doing a tremendous job. And now, from what I understand, the hatchery that they're, you know, rebuilding in Marina Del Rey goes clear, has an effect clear down into Baja, down into Mexico.
Oh, for sure. All the way down. Yes.
Wow. So what have you been out catching? What's going on with you?
Well, recently I've been targeting the smaller fish because we can't catch rockfish right now and groundfish. So I kind of stay away from them for the next couple of months. Season opens up again March 1st, so that's always a really big day. Everybody wants to go out and catch red snapper and the rockfish, you know, have that fish fry. But I've been getting a lot of bass and sculpin and whitefish, and it's been a lot of fun.
When
they're very plentiful.
When the fishermen say bottom fishing, what are they referring to? Are they... When they say
they're referring to 90% of all fish feed on the bottom, and so almost every time you're going to catch a fish, you're going to be within 10 feet of the bottom.
Oh, okay.
And that's just kind of where they congregate. That's where they hang out. That's where the food source is, and that's where the currents are also the strongest. So that brings the most food.
Oh, that's where the schools are, right?
Yes.
It's where they go to school. God, that's absolutely amazing.
And until we have an inversion layer, and the inversion layer, which, of course, is the cold water has more oxygen in it than the hot water that's above it, and then it mixes. And then the fish don't know where to go. And that's what makes fishing so much fun, because that makes the fish move around. And now you have to go hunting for them. And the fish don't know where they're going, and so how can we know where to go also?
Well, if you're just joining us now, you're listening to The Boating Hour. I'm Captain Rick. I'm here every Saturday at 4 p.m. Please be sure to visit us on the web at theboatinghour.com. Today, my guest with the Fish Report, we're going to talk all about rivers, lakes, and the weather. I've got Dave back on the show. So, Dave, that's really exciting that we're going into a very good time. When the fish are plentiful and the fishermen are back out there, and I see a lot of sailors out there. I want to mention Catalina. So Catalina has a preserve behind it called Farnsworth Bank. Let's have a little short. I've had a whole show on that. I think you were on the show that we talked about Farnsworth Bank. So that's one of the things that came up. One of the things Bart Hall is looking to do for next year is to get some of the scuba people out and let them have booths. So I think this year, the show being in January, a lot of people weren't prepared. But next year, you're probably going to see some scuba. Let's talk about Farnsworth Bank, because I talked to one gentleman who's a fisherman, and I forgot where he said he was from, but he was from the Midwest, but he grew up here. He comes back every year because he says that the Farnsworth Bank behind Catalina, not only is Catalina some of the best fishing, but it also has a preserve that people from all over the world come to. So let's talk about Farnsworth Bank a little bit.
Occasionally, you'll have 80-foot visibility.
Wow.
It's very similar to being inside of a room. And the colors and the corals and the amount of fish, the variety is top 10 in the world. And most people don't know that, but it's just 40 miles offshore. It's not very far. And it's easy to jump on a dive boat and go enjoy and see some of the best water in the world. And that's right off of the Los Angeles coast.
Wow. Yeah, it's a wonderful spot. And they really, in Catalina, when I had the Catalina people on the show, I talked to the dock master, but I also talked to the conservancy, and they're very proud of it. It's one of the greatest spots. Are you allowed to fish at all on the backside of Catalina?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's lots of places you can fish, and there's some places that they want you to stay out of.
Right.
Two Harbors and Cat Harbor, you know, they kind of don't want you fishing in there so much because it's a great nursery for all the fish. And then when you go out to Farnsworth Bank, that is a natural preserve, except for you can catch the pelagics. So you can, you know, and a pelagic could be a bluefin, yellowfin, tuna, or yellowtail, or, you know, your barracuda, something like that. Dorado. Yeah.
Well, let's go back to, I started the show and I skipped a subject because I do that a lot. Let's go back to, you know, some of the rivers and lakes. What's happening in the Central Coast? Because now I guess we're in a good season and, you know, our lakes and rivers are filling up. But there was a while that they were dry. So what's going on in Central Coast, California? And what are the lakes and rivers that, you know, that are filling up?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is the striper and steelhead migrations are numbers we have never seen, because we didn't used to keep very good record of it. And over the last 50, 70 years, we've been in this drought or whatever. And so the fish haven't been able to move in and out as freely as they do now. You know, and those two types of fish are able to swim upstream, go back out into the ocean, come back in, go back out. And they do well going through that brackish water. And now that we've got some water flow, those numbers are spiking, you know, by the thousands.
Well, now there's a lake in Tulare, right? Isn't there a Tulare Lake?
Oh, Tulare Lake Basin. Yes. Tulare Lake showed up because of all the atmospheric rivers we had last year. And you can actually take a kayak from Lake Isabella, which is above Bakersfield, all the way to the Golden Gate Bridge.
No kidding.
And it's the first time this has happened since 1970.
Wow. How long is that trip going to take me when I do it?
Yeah, it'd take a long time. I don't know if anyone's done it, but boy, that's really something to be able to think about how much water we got.
God, that's fantastic. You know, Hobie was there. And Hobie, of course, is really an iconic brand. Right here in Southern California, they had a Hobie Cat. First of all, they had a bicycle, an exercise bicycle, on like a paddle board. So that was pretty exciting to see the Hobie exercise bike. And then they had a couple of rigs, and one was a kayak and one was a paddle board set up for fishing, and it had the you could pedal. You could,
That sounds really fun. I have to try one of those out. That would be something to go do.
Yeah, maybe you can get them to sponsor the show. We'll set you up and go out there and film
it. I'll make it happen.
Yeah. I was really excited. I also saw the, what do you call the, as a sailor, the motorcycles. What do they call the motorcycles? The PFDs?
Jet skis.
They had jet skis. One of the companies, they were all jet skis, and in the middle, they had two jet skis on trailer, of course, completely set up for a fisherman. It had the paint tank.
It's so much fun. You just jump on, you go for a little 20-minute ride, and they got fish finders on them and everything, and you can go find fish really quick. And you're not using a whole lot of fuel, but it's also really, really fun just to ride around out on the water, because you see so many other things, because you're able to go fast.
Yeah. Oh, it was amazing. I couldn't believe the setup. What was so interesting about the jet ski is that it was so comfortable when you're not riding. You know, you could lean back. It was so comfortable. It had the bait tank, it had places for your rods, it had all kinds of stuff. I couldn't believe it. I looked at this thing, and it's completely set up.
It's literally a walk-around jet ski.
Yeah. It was fantastic. I'm telling you, that show. Well, Bard Hall, because we came off of the Bard Hall show in January, and, of course, going on right now is the Del Mar show. But I am going to be in the Pomona show coming up in March, the Bard Hall, and it's an all-boat show and in Pomona. So I'll be at that one as well. So Bart's done an amazing job. You know, I had him on the show. This started with his father, Fred Hall, after the war. In 1947, they started the outdoor camping and boating and fishing show. That's what it was called originally. So he's been going on.
Let me know when you're going to be there, and I will come join you, because I know, you know, you have a little entourage that likes to follow you around. I do, too.
Oh, that would be fantastic. And get some of the kids that... How's it going with the kids? You're still taking them out as pleasure and punishment, and teaching them how to fish and getting them out on the water?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. This last weekend, I had we had family in town, so I was able to mix family and friends together, and I had I took 12 out over the weekend, and we just did little like 2-hour runs out to catch some fish real quick. And one drop we had, we actually got 5 on the line all at the same time. So it was pretty amazing.
Well, I got an invite. I'm going to be going to Lake Mead, and I'm going to go to one of the clubs and maybe do a little sailing, but fishing as well, because the reservoir at Lake Mead, they had such a problem. I think it's pretty deep, but it's huge. I mean, it's unbelievable.
You can't even imagine how much water that holds.
Well, yeah, I've heard different figures, but it's well over 150,000 acres is a whole surface area and volume. I'm going to find that out. I'm going to find out how much an inch of water in Lake Mead, how many gallons of water that is. I really want to know.
Just remember, every foot that it goes up, you're going to have exponentially more water. So I don't know if an inch is going to help you much.
Well, I know that... Lake Mead, you know, evolved out of the volcano eruptions millions of years ago, and they had record low water levels, but now, boy, people are so excited. Lots of water, lots of activity, so I'll do a whole show on that. That's really exciting. I'm definitely going to let you know. I'll coordinate with you. I might have a booth there in Pomona. I'm not sure yet, but that'll be a really good show. It's an exclusive boat-only show, so I'm not sure what that means. I've never been to the Pomona show that he does every year.
I've never been to that show either. That'll be fun to go do together.
Well, we'll definitely do that. We'll bring some kids out. I'll bring some of my friends, and you know, ideally, if I have a booth. Well, it's been exciting having you back. We really didn't jump too much into fish, so I'm going to have to bring you back to do a fish report. You know, I had the guys at 22nd Street Landing on, you know, in San Pedro. That was a great show. Yeah, and I saw them there, and they had a booth. So they're very successful. They got a lot going on. They're very excited about. The fishing, that's the tournaments that are coming back. So that's a wonderful place to be, the 22nd Street Landing in San Pedro. So, Dave, I want to thank you for coming on. We're going to have to come back on and do a whole fish report.
You got it.
All right. Well, that's all the time that we have for you today. I hope you enjoyed our show. As always, we're so very fortunate to have such wonderful and exciting guests. I want to thank Dave for being on the show today. We'll have him back for Fish Report, exclusive Fish Report. You know, coming up in May, we're going to feature the Coast Guard, the Armed Service Parade down in Torrance, the oldest, longest-running, most prestigious, exclusively Armed Service Parade coming up in May. The week after Memorial Day is Fleet Week, so the Coast Guard will be represented. We'll have a lot of activities and, of course, booths at both the Battleship Iowa and San Pedro Memorial Day, so that'll be pretty darn exciting. The featured branch this year is the Space Force. We're going to have a special show dedicated to the Space Force as well. So let's not forget the Coasties, protecting our waters, America's lifesavers and guardians of the sea. Remember, if you do it right and follow the guidelines and safety precautions, there's no place like being out of the water in the fresh air and sunshine in beautiful, sunny Southern California. Here at the Boating Hour with Captain Rick, we cover everything that sails, motors, and floats from San Diego to Santa Barbara. Opening day at all the yacht clubs is coming up in March and April. We're going to have a lot of guests featured at the various yacht clubs. We'll be talking about the history and opening days up and down Southern California. So don't forget to visit us on the web at theboatinghour.com. Now all over on social media. Keep your emails coming. I want to thank Raycom, our radio sponsors. We're going to have them on the show as well. Talk about coverage from all over Southern California. This is Captain Rick saying ahoy and fair winds to all.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.